to one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM.
Trying to get the trade going on fantasy, but guys just ain't either on or looking. Hello?
I'm here. I'm playing the intro. You can't hear it.
Hello?
I'm here. I'm playing the intro if you can't hear it. Hello, 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 and welcome everyone to this edition of the Sports Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. William D. Morgan. I do have a caller on the line with me right now, Gene from Cleveland. Gene, how you doing, man?
All right, how you doing, Will?
Doing good, doing good. You guys can do exactly what Gene did. The number to dial is 706-993-4606. That number again is 706-993-4606. Got a lot to talk about tonight. We got the Khalil Mack trade to the Bears. We got Nick Foles being named starter for game number one. Are we sure Carson Wentz is coming back? Got some news at a Cowboys camp and a whole lot more. But first, Gene, let me ask you, how's your week been, man?
It's a good weekend. You know, like, I just pretty much relaxed. Didn't get into too much. Ate a little bit yesterday, ate a little bit today, and sat back and really, you know, watched some football yesterday and today. Just flicking through the channels, just relaxing. It's Labor Day, so taking that day off for working, man.
I ain't relaxing. My team getting drubbed. We getting destroyed.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, on ESPN right now.
It don't look like a lot of coaching going on.
On ESPN right now, Virginia Tech is beating Florida State 24-3, ladies and gentlemen. DeAndre Francois, 22 of 35, 233 yards, 3 INTs. Cam Akers, 14 carries for 82 yards. They held him, holding him under 100. Meanwhile, over on the Virginia Tech side, Eric Kuma, 4 receptions for 86 yards and 1 TD. Ladies and gentlemen, I knew Virginia Tech last year was built off defense. I get it. I understand it. But really, it's like this. And I questioned, I was talking to Gene earlier, it seemed going into the year, I didn't get a chance to see a lot of Oregon over in the Pac-12, but the things I heard about Taggart, head coach Willie Taggart, he was more of an offensive coordinator than a head coach, and that reared his ugly head tonight. Florida State definitely still looks like a work in progress, and like I told Gene as well, we could have kept Jimbo Fisher for this.
Definitely. He came in, and I don't know too much about Willie Taggart, but I watch Florida State just because they always a team that's in the mix at time, you know, in the mix some years, and then they go out. You know, they go off and get distant, then they come back, and they back in the mix. So,
right.
I mean, and I watched the first half of this game before I turned it because it was onslaught. But it just looks like a team with a new coach. It looks like a team that hasn't got the system down yet. You can see some marquee players there, but it's not nowhere near Florida State football at this point at all.
Mm-hmm. But hey, at least the one good thing is football is back. And while we're on the discussion of college football, let's go over these scores very, very quickly in case you guys miss anything. On Thursday night, University of Central Florida defeats UConn 56-17. Number 4, Wisconsin defeat Western Kentucky 34-3. Stanford, number 13 Stanford, defeats San Diego State 31-10. Now we're going into Saturday's games. Number 1 Alabama defeats Louisville 51-14. We're going to talk about Saint Nick in a minute. We're going to talk about him because he was acting like a purity ass after this game. And I will say ass because that's exactly what he was acting like. Ass. Number 2 Clemson defeats Furman 48-7. Number 3 Georgia defeats Austin Peay 45-0. Number 5 Ohio State without Urban Meyer defeats Oregon State 77-31. Yeah, right. Like that one was going to ever be in doubt. Number 9 Auburn defeats number 6 Washington 21-16. And Gene, maybe you can help me. There were a lot of people on Facebook on the Washington Huskies. It was just like they were going to be the greatest team ever, and they were going to go to the national championship game against Bama and beat them. I don't understand how Washington got any of this preseason hype.
I think they was really banking on Jake Browning. Then I think we talked about this about 4 or 5 podcasts ago about Washington and how they're just so in love with Jake Browning. Mm. And maybe he could carry this team. They're a Pac-12. Like I said, that Pac-12 conference, it's always up in the air with those teams. But I don't know how anybody could have, you know, Washington, and I think they came in preseason polls, what, ranked number 6?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're playing the number 9 Auburn team, who's probably only number 9 because of just loss of players. And they're doing a little bit rebuilding after a couple of years.
What, ranked?
But Washington, I didn't actually see that game, but I don't see them being any competition down the stretch. You know, if they can't come in week one and no week one games against teams like that, I give them credit for scheduling those teams. You know, those the bigger schools, the schools that are always somewhere around in the top 30, top 25. I give them credit for scheduling that game, but I don't think they're ready for that.
Yes, you have to give Washington credit for that. You really, really do. They're not going to be like these next couple of games we have on the slate. Oklahoma defeats Florida Atlantic 63-14. That's number 7, Oklahoma defeats Florida Atlantic 63-14. Number 10, Penn State had a nail biter with Appalachian State, but they pull it off 45-38. I'm sure that thing was that close. Notre Dame, number 12, Notre Dame defeats Michigan 24-17. When do you pull the reins on Jim Harbaugh?
That Michigan is a tough situation. I mean, he's probably brought better players in since he's been there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not at the quarterback position. But he's just, it was a lot of hype with him coming into Michigan anyway, because, you know, he's an alumni, he's an ex-quarterback there. He's seen his style of quarterback doesn't work in the Big Ten, and they went with this new guy they got, and obviously he's better, but he just can't get over the hump.
Yeah.
Always has a stellar defense, but then the offense is always shaky. And last year was quarterback. Now this year it's offensive line. Their offensive line was putrid. I didn't watch the running back too well. I don't know how effective he was, but it looks like to me they're just having a big breakdown on the front line. And the defense is stellar. I mean, mm-hmm. The defense is there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Jim Harbaugh just he just can't get over the hump. I think 2 years ago was his year.
Yeah.
If that team was going to do anything, that was the year that they were going to do it. Then, you know, you lost players due to draft and just, you know, and that was, and then players becoming eligible, can't play college ball anymore.
Right.
But like I said, he just, to me, it just seems like he's just, he's there, but he's not there as far as a complete team.
Right. He needs to get that thing together soon, because I don't know. Yeah, you may be a fan favorite now, but even being an alumni and playing for him, your welcome might be worn out quick, fast, and in a hurry, particularly with another loss against Ohio State.
Well, I think, well, you can count that.
Yeah, you really can.
Yeah,
you really can.
You can count that. But especially coming into this year with, you know, I'm a Ohio State guy. We have a very weak schedule, and I always tell people that it's a weak schedule. I think we face number 16 TCU in another 2 weeks. They're not, and that's always our downfall. We get down to the 8th, 9th, 10th game, and then we start seeing, then we start getting exposed.
Right.
I think yesterday with Ohio State, their defense got exposed a little bit. They let Oregon State score 31 points on them. That's a lot of points.
Mm-hmm.
Considering the caliber of team that they were playing.
Right.
But, two, they were putting in some younger guys to give them some. Once they got up about 21, they started putting in some younger guys and letting those guys play. And but the defense is a little suspect right now, which it has been the last couple of years. Like when Denzel Ward, it was a bad defense, but he was the bright spot in the defense. And that's why he goes to the league, because they're so stacked at in their secondary.
Right.
You know, they want guys one and done in at Ohio State. So, like I said, but Michigan probably, the team up north, probably will not, they probably won't even be able to compete with Ohio State this year at all.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Again, number 12. Notre Dame defeats number 14 Michigan 24-17. Number 15 USC beat UNLV 43-21. Number 16 TCU defeats Southern 55-7. Number 17 West Virginia defeats Tennessee 40-14. Number 18 Mississippi State defeats, am I reading this right? Number 18 Mississippi State defeats Stephen F. Austin 63-6. Whoa, what the hell?
Never heard of him.
Why are they on the schedule? Oh, Mississippi State, you should be ashamed of yourselves. I know you want a good opening day victory, but really? Oh my goodness. Number 22. Number 22, Boise State defeats Troy 56-20. That's good, because Troy is my ex-wife's college. So good. I hope they go winless this year. Number 34. Number 34. I'm sorry, not number 34. Maryland defeats number 23 Texas 34-29. Oregon, number 24, Oregon defeats Bowling Green 58-24. Upset of the day. And this is also where our player of the week comes from. Number 25, LSU defeats number 8, Miami 33-17. And our player of the week is from this game, Nick Brousset. 22 carries for 125 yards and 2 touchdowns. I don't know if they just caught Miami at the right time. Maybe Miami was overlooking them. I don't know. But I can't really explain this. Crazy game.
I mean, neither. I think everybody had really high expectations for Miami this year, actually.
Yeah.
And I don't, like I said, but, you know, it's week one. And it's week one, and you always got those non-conference games. And then when those guys schedules either ranked opponents or decent opponents, these are the type of results that we'd be seeing. But Miami, I mean, I like I said, they had, from what I was, you know, hearing, very high expectations for them. But once again, they didn't show up. And then, you know, tonight, Florida State, they don't show up. I don't know if it's just a Florida thing right now, but those teams down south are not playing well at all.
Not at all. And we'll see if Miami can bounce back, because in week two, the Hurricanes of Miami plays the very tough team, Savannah State.
Yeah, Savannah State. And next Saturday at 6 p.m. And then to go back to LSU. LSU actually has Ohio State's backup quarterback, Joe Burrow.
Okay.
And Joe Burrow was actually, he's actually, I think, graduated from college, and then he's got an extra year of eligibility.
Okay.
So, and that's how he went D1, D1, go from Ohio State, then goes to LSU. He didn't. I put that poll up on Facebook and asked them, did Ohio State drop the ball on Joe Burrow?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's like, no, no. It's Gladys. No, he's not. He's not better than Haskins. He's not. He wasn't better than JT Barrett. Mm-hmm. He isn't better than Tate from Bishop Gorman. But he goes there and he pulls off a win, a decisive win, playing average football for a quarterback,
right.
And that's why I said Miami coming in preseason polls ranked number 8. What a guy changing conferences. You go from the Big Ten to the SEC. So they should have hammered him.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
all night long, he should have just been getting hammered, but. But like I said, it says to me, and I watched spurts of that game, but a lot of it, and it just didn't look like Miami was, I think they're a little coming in overrated.
Well, from the game tonight, which Virginia Tech won, next week they get to extend their winning streak. They face one of the toughest opponents out there. They face William & Mary. One of the toughest opponents I've ever seen.
What do you think about William & Mary?
All right, real quick, Florida State, we have a chance to rebound against Samford. The hell, man? The hell? The ACC has a bad enough rap as it is. I mean, it's tough. You can ask the question, who's the weakest team, the Pac-12 or the ACC? You can ask that question and have an argument.
And actually have an argument.
Yeah.
I like the Pac-12, mostly West Coast teams. The ACC is. I look at when you look at what was that Boston College? You got Clemson there, Florida State, Louisville.
Yep.
If you look at those teams, Pitt, okay. Notre Dame, they're getting better. North Carolina, basketball school.
Yep. Same thing with Duke.
The U, just underrated this year. Louisville, I was actually surprised that is that big a drop off with Lamar Jackson leaving there.
Because
I thought, and I said that, I think I made that comment about, I think it would have been a different game for them if Lamar, you can tell that they just don't have that pop that they had last year.
Right.
And they won games, but they lost a lot of big games, but they won games, and it didn't look that bad. Georgia Tech, once again, basketball school.
Yep.
Duke, basketball school.
Yep.
you know, so you got, you know, you got Virginia there, and then you got Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's a football school. Mm-hmm. Then you got Wake Forest.
Mm-hmm.
Not a basketball, well, traditionally basketball, but they just haven't been talked about in some years now. You know what I mean? So if you look at the ACC, you got Clemson, Florida State, and Notre Dame right now. Probably be the top three in that, in the ACC. Definitely.
Yep.
And because we don't hear Boston College at all. You know what I mean?
Mm-mm. I don't think you will. I don't think you will.
And, but when you compare the two, the Pac-12, I think is probably a stronger conference.
From top to bottom, I would agree.
Yeah, I think Pac-12 was a little bit better brand of football. You know, it's out west. It's you know, you got Cal there, you got ASU. You know, you got some teams out there that can play some ball. You got UCLA there. So yeah, I think definitely, you know, the it's definitely stronger than the ACC. I think it's just too many basketball teams in the ACC.
Right. Not enough football schools to make the difference.
No, not enough. Yeah, to make up. I mean, most of those Pac-12s are mostly all football schools.
Yep. All right, real quick. Let's go over something that went down. If you weren't paying attention, you definitely would have missed it. But before we get into the football, there was a trade that went down in the NBA. The Houston Rockets trade Ryan Anderson to the Phoenix Suns for Brendan Knight and Marquise Chris. If you haven't seen the Phoenix Suns play, I like Chris. I like Chris a lot.
I like what's his name, too. He's a decent point guard.
Yeah. Knight's really good. I sort of like this trade from two standpoints. I think it keeps Houston with Golden State in the sense. And if Ryan Anderson can get his shot back and they can get some more shooters go around Devin Booker, this might work out for Phoenix too.
We're here in Phoenix, you know, but Phoenix hasn't been nothing since probably Amari Stoudemire.
Yep. You right about that.
You know what I mean? So, At the end of the day, I think Houston unloading some dead weight, and I think Phoenix need it. Because I'm trying to think if they're getting that, what's his name, Brendan Knight?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're getting Brendan Knight just in case CP3
goes out.
Stay healthy all year.
Yep. Which is a good just possibility.
It's just an insurance move. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's always being hampered by those hammies. And, so I don't think it was a major trade. I think it was just collateral damage. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think that CP3, they know that CP3 has the weirdest injuries. You know what I'm saying? Just the weirdest stuff goes on. I think that was just an insurance thing for them. But he's not a bad guard.
Mm-mm.
You know, he's just not stellar. I mean, he's just not, you know, he's just not stellar.
Right.
You know?
I like Chris, though. I like Chris a lot. I think he can get up and down in transition with you. I like that move a whole heck of a lot. you just can't beat having too much talent on your roster. And if something should go down to one of those other bigs, Chris can step into that role very quickly. I love that move. It's a good move by them. And again, Ryan Anderson, if you can get some shooters around Devin Booker, that helps you out in Phoenix. Now, are you going to be relevant for the next 2-3 years? No. But this could be a stepping stone. From what I understand, he also Ryan Anderson also renegotiated his contract. So Phoenix didn't take a hit.
What do we know about this D'Anthony Melton guy?
I've only seen him play once, and I wasn't impressed from the one time that I saw him.
right. Yeah, I don't know too much about D'Anthony Melton. But Ryan Anderson, you know, 6'10", 240, what he's been in the league, 9 or 10 years?
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely a good move for the Suns. I mean, I relatively don't know their whole roster right offhand, but, you know, you can't go wrong with 6'10", a 9-10-year vet. But, you know, this the West, and I think the only team that's probably close to gearing up for Golden State is Houston.
You know,
so I don't see any other teams that can challenge them down the stretch. They might win a few games here and there during the regular season, which is gimmies. But down that stretch, after the All-Star break, it gets real serious.
Oh, yeah. And again, the only thing with Houston, you have to see how Carmelo's going to fit.
Well, we talked about that, and I told you, I see him more of just a spot-up shooter now.
Yeah.
Lack of defense. It'll be 5-on-4, definitely.
it's no mystery that Carmelo Anthony is intrigued with the money.
Yes. Amen to that.
I don't think he's even got the mindset he wants to, because when he went to OKC, you know, he was showing all these little workout videos and training sessions and, you know, of him, you know, in the gym, you know, and then you come out and you barely help him, you know.
Right.
So it's all a put on for me and my standpoint about, and I have a nickname for him, Marshmallow Anthony.
Have Marshmallow. Oh man. Marshmallow. Oh my goodness. My kids play a song that they hear on YouTube, and I think the song is called Marshmallow.
Marshmallow. The best one dribble pull up in the business. But that's it.
Yeah. He's definitely falling off. He had been the same. Alright, let's head over to the NFL. We got a ton of NFL stuff to talk about. A lot happened over this weekend alone. First thing we'll talk about, kind of going to backtrack it and take you through everything. Khalil Mack from the Raiders gets traded to the Bears for 2 first-round picks. Then he signs an extension for 6 years, $141 million. $90 million is guaranteed. He's the highest paid defensive player ever. Here's my thing. What the hell is John Gruden doing?
I think that, you know how, I mean, I like John Gruden. You know, I'm familiar with John Gruden a little bit as far as just his coaching from Tampa Bay and back when he was with the Raiders before or whatever. He's just a no-nonsense type of guy. He went in there. He probably, when he got the job, I would presume he said, well, it was like the GM probably got with him and said, hey, listen, we got to reach out to Khalil Mack. You know, he's talking about he needs more money, blah, blah, blah. Khalil didn't want to talk to nobody.
Right.
So I think John Gruden was like, all right, the hell with him. You know, let's figure out something. To get 2 first-round draft picks for him, I thought one maybe.
Yeah.
But I think they got a steal with 2 first-round draft picks, especially a Raiders team that definitely is on the lower totem pole for defense this year. Mm-hmm. So I think at the end of the day, that trade definitely worked out for the Raiders. You get rid of a headache. I don't know
if Chicago is that hard up for, because the way they were playing Khalil, they got him always listed as a linebacker, but sometimes he'll play DN.
Yeah, he will. He will.
Yeah, if they go to a base, they run like a base 4-3, so sometimes that'll kick him out to the defensive end spot, which is a good thing. We got a guy that can play two different positions, you know. But is he going to stay healthy?
Yep.
And is he going to be able to contribute in that division? That's a tough division he's going to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Green Bay's there. You got some tough teams. But the money wise, I think the Raiders did the right thing. I don't know if I can give Khalil Mack that much money. He's not an Odell Beckham persona.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, they're giving Odell Beckham the incentive of him filling the seats too, because people, you know, he's a popular receiver. But Khalil Mack, I think they jumped the gun on that. I think the Raiders did good. Get him off your hands, get him out of the locker room, and let's get on with playing the first week, and we'll go with what we got.
I think the only thing about this deal, you have to, and your odds are against you of this happening, but in order to make this really work to your favor, those first round picks have to play either to Khalil Mack or better for this deal to look good. I think both teams made mistakes. I think the Raiders made a mistake by trading him. Second, how the hell are you gonna give John Gruden all that money? But you're not gonna give your star player all that money.
Well, like I said, you know, Khalil Mack has been he's been effective. You know, but I don't know if the Raiders were desperate to get a coach down there. But I like John Gruden. It's one of those things, like he came out of an era, he got away from the game.
Right.
Now he's back.
Yep.
You know, now he's coming back. So now the culture changes, the players change. Will he have the same effect on these guys as he did in the past? That's always in question. But he got one hell of a contract. What was it, 10 years?
10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he got 10 years. I don't see him coaching for 10 years.
Me neither.
I think he'll be giving some of that back. But Khalil Mack, I think they were supposed to pay him $13.8 this year, and then he was supposed to restructure his contract. So it's the old Carmelo move. It's like, let's get rid of Carmelo while we can get something for him.
Right.
Instead of letting him get in the way. You know what I mean? So I think that's what the whole Khalil Mack thing was. He wasn't reaching out. There was a big disconnect. And he's like, you know what? See what we can get for him. And like I said, I think the two first round draft picks and other things that were included in that deal outweigh Khalil going to the Bears.
Mm.
I think. You know what I mean?
I just don't see, and I get the stats, because everybody, when I say what I'm about to say, everybody keeps telling me, have you seen the stats? Have you seen the stats? But for the Bears, this move doesn't put the Bears over anybody. It doesn't put them over Minnesota. It doesn't put them over Green Bay. You might be better than Detroit. But it doesn't put you over anyone really in your division. And I don't trust Allen Robinson. They need a left tackle. And I just think when you have a team that has so many needs, draft picks are at a premium. Now you had cap.
I agree with that.
Now you had cap space, and this is true. You had cap space, and it's fine. But draft picks are a premium. You need a lot. Everybody down there believes in that receiving core.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. but there's a lot of people that believes in that receiving core in Chicago, and I just think they need so much, and you're putting a lot on a young QB and a new system, so we shall see how that works out. I just don't like the fact you give him the 2 picks. The money's irrelevant.
Yeah.
Because he's going to get
them. Because that's an enticing deal. I mean, anytime you can, because it's not solely based on us keeping those picks just for us and building through the draft with those picks.
Mm-hmm.
Those draft picks can be traded.
Yeah.
They can be used to get something else. You know what I mean? It was so much leverage with those first round draft picks. You know what I mean? And so that's enticing. That was enticing to the Raiders. They was like, you know what? And I think they, like I said, I think Khalil's agent, and I'm sure Khalil probably wasn't talking to him directly. I'm pretty sure his agent, and then Raiders GM and Gruden, they all said, listen, this is the best option. But I truly think John Gruden said, listen, I'm not going back and forth with this guy. This is what we have, okay, and this is what we're going to do. And, you know, he got a 6-year, $141 million, 23.5 average salary,
mm-hmm.
with $90 million of it guaranteed.
Yep. That's a lot of loot.
That's a lot of loot for, what is he, a two-time Pro Bowler? Two-time Pro Bowler. But, like I said, you go into a Bears team that got Mitchell Trubisky.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One of the Cleveland Browns wide receivers, Taylor Gabriel. He's not bad, but...
I forgot Taylor Gabriel was there.
But who else is there? Who else is there that me and you could just, like, think off the top of our head as an impact player over there in Chicago?
All I can think of is Jordan Howard.
That's it.
I don't trust Allen Robinson because he can get hurt. Matter of fact, he's been hurt. So, Jordan Howard's the only person I can really trust. So, we shall see if this trade works out. It kind of reminds me of what Dallas and Minnesota did back in the day with Herschel Walker.
Mm-hmm.
So, it kind of reminds me of that. All right. We also have somebody else signing big-time money. The Rams went ahead and extended Aaron Donald 6 years, $135 million. Damn. And now that you got him back. That defense becomes just even more hellacious.
But you know what?
What's that?
But with Aaron Donald, he's been around.
Yeah. He has.
He's going to be around. Mm-hmm. You know, and his contract is so incentive laden. You know, he's got some things in there that he has to do to get the full amount of the contract.
Right.
I think his base salary is not even $1 million, but they kick in the signing bonus.
Mm-hmm.
So my signing bonus was $8 million. You know, I mean, this was for the 2018 year, and then you know they don't take and they're not taking a big cap hit.
Right.
But yearly cash, that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
For a defensive end. He anchors that. The Rams D line has probably been the best the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Agreed there.
And he anchors that. But you know, $40 million signing bonus. You know, average 22.5, guarantee $86 million off $135 million. When you look at other DNs around the league, I don't know if that pans out.
Well, we'll see And it was rumors, too. I think Shannon Sharp said it this morning that Khalil Mack was also looking at the Rams. Dude, can you see that? Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald, and Dominican Sue on that front line for the Rams.
All together.
Ooh.
Oh man.
How you gonna
West
pass?
Is in trouble.
How you gonna pass the foot? How you gonna pass? How you gonna pass the football?
How you gonna pass the football? How you even gonna line up against these guys? You need an average offensive line of about 500 pounds. You know.
Oh my goodness!
Because you know them was freaks.
Yeah.
You know them what you could. Yeah, them was freaks, beasts, whatever have you, whatever you want to call it, but. You know, you got Dominican Sue, who's definitely going to try to break your arm.
Yep.
You know, you want to step on you.
You know.
And Aaron Donald's just a bear.
Yep.
You know, but you know what? At the end of the day, man, if these guys, if they get the money, you know, more power to them. You know, and you just hope they do the right things with it. I don't know what the motive is with all the spending that's been going on, but, you know, hey, Aaron Donald's been the anchor of that defensive line.
Oh, so yeah.
I can't even, and he's a guy that doesn't stay in the headlines too much. He just plays football.
Yep.
We don't hear about him.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you right about
and,
that.
And since I'm on the East Coast, you know, more so, you know, we really got to do research and hunt it down just to hear about if a player – it's causing any kind of fracas anyway, but that Rams team is one of those teams out in L.A. is one of the least talked about teams.
Yeah.
You know, you got San Francisco 49ers. You got, you know, just like the San Diego Chargers. You know, we barely hear about the Rams. And we've only been hearing about them in the last couple years because of the defense.
Oh, yeah.
And then any time before that was Eric Dickerson.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Things have changed now.
He must be a pretty hard-nosed guy, a blue-collar guy, goes to work, and they feel like they can give him that money and trust him to still perform at a high level. Because you know how these guys get when they start getting that money.
Yep. Complacent.
They forget about playing football.
Oh, yeah, they get complacent. They get complacent. Look at D'Angelo Williams. Look at Jonathan Stewart. They get their money. Complacent.
What about that Jamarcus Russell?
Yo. Yo.
Oh, man. There was a shortage of out there, what the Raiders was a shortage of lean. You know, this guy was supposedly drinking up all this lean, you know.
Yep.
But. But he wasn't coming to practice.
Nope.
He wasn't performing in the game. That was the worst. I'm gonna tell you. And I, what was that? Not Phillip Rivers. What was that? Ryan Leaf. Remember Ryan Leaf?
I remember Ryan. Mm-hmm.
Bus too.
Another know? Bus.
But. But when we see this guy, I mean, that was you come right out of college, and you go right to the NFL, and you do absolutely nothing.
It flunked. You just flunk the
they
test.
They pay you to go. They pay you in the off season to go work out.
Yep. And didn't do it.
And didn't do it.
Nope.
And he was drinking lean.
He was
drinking lean.
Oh my goodness. He was terrible. He was terrible. You know the one thing. And I thought Jeff Blake was probably one of the worst quarterbacks I've seen. At least he tried.
Right.
At least he tried. Jamarcus Russell didn't even try. He didn't even try. Every time he threw the football, it was a wounded duck.
He didn't even know the offense.
Nope.
He didn't even know the offense. He just throwing it. That ain't the guy.
Uh-uh.
You know. John Gruden, you know, Spider True Banana, you know, you got a couple few things you need to look at before you release this ball, big man.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
Yep. But to get back to Aaron Donald, I think he lived up to his first round draft pick though.
Heck yeah, he did. You know,
yeah, he lived up to it.
Heck, you know what I mean? Yep, he did. He really did.
Coming out of Pittsburgh, you know what I mean? He lived up to it. But like I said, I think, because we got to look at the politically correct side of it. Like, this guy's, we don't hear about him.
Right, you don't.
Nope, and he, I think he probably deserves it at this point. And they have been decent. The Rams have been decent, mm-hmm. You know. They've been better. They've been better to look at, like I guess you would say.
Yep.
You know, so we'll see how it pans out after he gets the first couple checks. Because I think the signing bonus, I think, like I said, the signing bonus is probably right now $8 million they gave him. They break it down. They break down the $40 million signing bonus. And they break it down like four ways or whatever, but. So he'll get $8 million of that right now in the bank. I mean, he can go take his black card and do what he want with it right now.
Yeah,
so.
he can.
Interesting.
Another Aaron made the news. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers agreed to a 4-year, $134 million contract extension that can be worth $180 million if he hits all his incentives. $67 million. Is guaranteed money by the end of the calendar year. Did the Packers surround Rodgers with enough talent?
Mm-hmm.
That's my question. And to me, he still doesn't have a defense. He still doesn't, and he still doesn't have. I don't care what people tell me about Jamal Williams. They talk about Jamal Williams like he's great, but he's still unproven. So, until that defense gets better and you see that run game get to where it needs to be, they'll contend, but I don't think they'll win.
Yeah, and I think a couple of years ago they were like right there, and I think about 3 years ago they was lacking on their pass rushing.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to be better at pass rushing. And I think that's where they made the mistake at. I think they were putting so much emphasis on that the rest of the defense fell apart. And who was the, at that time, I think, too, Aaron Rodgers probably had some of the better seasons.
Yeah.
There's no doubt the offense carries this team. But Green Bay is one of those teams where it's always been centered around the quarterback anyway.
This is true.
Ever since Brett Favre, ever since, you know, and I think they got Cleveland's backup or Cleveland starter, Deshaun Kizer.
They do.
And I'm thinking he's going, I think they were saying earlier, I was looking at some stuff where he might be backing up Aaron Rodgers this year.
Mm.
So that would be bad. that'd be super bad if something happens to Aaron, because Aaron's another one of those guys, Will, who always has a freak injury.
Yep.
You know, and it's always at the wrong time. Like, okay, we can accept you getting hurt maybe early in the season, but he'll get injured right before a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, type deal. But to get, you know, back to the question, is he worth 4 years, $134 million. Of course, he's been a stellar quarterback. I mean, I think I like him with some of the receivers that even had Jordy Nelson, Sharper, and all those guys over the years. He's had a plethora of receivers.
Yes.
Over a good amount of time. So. And they haven't really been that prolific at running the ball, neither. Mm-mm. I think, what was the guy? I'm trying to think of his name.
Then you had Amar Green back in the day. Then you had Eddie Lacy, who ate himself out the
Eddie game. Lacy. Who was right before Eddie Lacy was, what's his name? What was his name? Mm-hmm. He was pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably the better back that they had in a while. They haven't had really
a stellar back. And I like the Eddie Lacy type backs, those Alabama type backs. I like all those backs because all those backs are pretty big backs.
Yeah, they are.
They all, yeah, they all just studs back there. But like I said, Aaron Rodgers has been effective. I mean, he's going to the Hall of Fame. And you got to give him something to compensate him for the lack of defense that they've been having.
Yep.
Can't get past. I mean, they struggle with Dallas. They struggle with, you know what I mean? They struggle with those teams all because of the defense. It has nothing to do with the offense because Aaron is what you call a two-minute guy. I mean, if you want to score, he can get you a score.
Yep.
But just as fast as they score, it's just as fast as they allow one, so.
Exactly. And they have weapons on our offense. Devontae Adams, Reggie Cobb. Are you looking down at Jimmy Graham? Now, Jordy Nelson's gone, but you're looking at the addition of Jimmy Graham for red line work. And then Jamal Williams is going to be playing that running back spot. And I know they really believe in him. So we'll see what they end up from here. Then we had another signing this week over in New York. Odell Beckham Jr. finally got his money. He agreed to a 5-year, $95 million contract, and we can note that $65 million of it is guaranteed. Could he be the first receiver to reach 2,000 yards, receiving yards?
This year?
Yeah.
2,000, that's a stretch. But here's the upside to what's going on with the Giants. You get Saquon. You got Saquon Barkley now.
Yep.
So he's taking a lot of pressure off Eli. Definitely. I think he extends his career another 2 years at least. You know, if he stays in New York, and I think that opens things up for Odell Beckham. I think his money was more based on his marketability and his popularity. You know what I mean?
You can put butts in seats.
Yeah, I think they like Odell Beckham. I think this guy's probably going to be like a Hollywood guy after all this NFL stuff is over and done with.
Right.
Because he has that persona. And I think, you know, for a receiver that stayed injured, I think we talked about this a couple podcasts ago about he's another one that has those freak injuries.
Yep.
You know, he has those injuries that you just be like, why now? And you know, why'd that happen? But his contract, because nobody in New York is getting paid over $100 million. Okay, let's clear the record on that.
Okay.
And he's only making $5 million more than Oliver Vernon.
Olivier Vernon.
Outside linebacker.
Yeah, Olivier Vernon. Yeah.
Yeah, he's only making a few more million than him, but really I think they have money to give.
Right.
Because they have money to give, and right now, he's probably the with the addition of Saquon Barkley, obviously, which he hasn't, you know, planted his name there yet, but I think he's the next guy. If Saquon does good, then he can be the face of the team. But I think right now it's Odell Beckham Jr. And I think that's why they pay him the money they pay him. Like I said, because if you lose Odell Beckham, then who's the next guy?
Right.
You know, you got Eli Apple there, which he's not making too much noise. He was suspect coming out of Ohio State. So, but you just don't have, you know, Jimmy. You got Jimmy Graham there, right?
Yep.
And you got Jimmy Graham, but those guys aren't. They're not going to put their butts in the seat. So I think that's why he gets this money, because they really, salary cap wise, it made a lot of sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They gave Saquon $31 million over 4 years. I think that's a big contract for a rookie.
Yeah. considering considering he didn't prove a damn thing yet. Yeah.
Yeah, and just had a hell of a combine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know he's the world's strongest running back right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they still are actually, they had a rollover. They're actually still to the good as far as salary cap. They're still $3 million to the good.
Damn.
Yes. And their total active contracts, after all the cuts, they're at about, their payroll is at $146 million. For the year. So that's pretty good.
It is.
Considering you still got an Eli Manning there. You got an Odell Beckham there. You got a Jimmy Graham there. You got a, you know, you got a Kareem Martin there. You know, you got a Jonathan Stewart there.
Oh, you mean, not Jimmy Graham, Evan Ingram.
Yeah, Ingram. Mm-hmm. Over in Green Bay.
Oh, Evan Ingram is with the Giants and Jimmy Graham is with the Packers.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham is with the Packers, right. Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. But, well, take Jimmy Graham out of there and now you really have Eli Manning, Odell Beckham, and Saquon Barkley.
Yep.
That's your big name guys there. You know, no more Justin Tucks. No more, you know, Michael Strahan's. No, none of them guys. And
nope.
That's why I think he gets paid the money he gets paid, because there's really nothing there, and they have money to give, and they gave it to the guy. I think that they think it keeps some butts in the seat.
Right. All right, guys. A couple other things we're gonna go over, then we're gonna get out of here for the night. Jets trade Teddy Bridgewater and a 2019 sixth round pick to the New Orleans Saints for a 2019 third round pick. Do you think Teddy Bridgewater can be the man to successfully replace Breeze?
No.
Me neither.
No. Teddy was what, hurt for a whole year? Yeah. Mm. For a minute?
Mm.
Teddy ain't really. And he went to the Jets. They threw him to the Wolves up there. I don't know. He still has to prove himself. Stay hurt in Minnesota. You know, got hurt with the Jets. When he did play, like I said, it wasn't much. You know, and I think he played 30 games maybe his total career.
See, and I get drafted.
No,
go ahead.
Yeah, 30 games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 30 games over a four or five year career. He didn't play in 2016. He was gone that whole time.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
So he's damaged goods. He's an RG3.
It's like, I don't know. I just look. When you trade in draft picks like that, what you get back for giving up your draft pick should be close to it. What that draft pick is. So let's say, for example, you getting a 2019 sixth round pick and Teddy Bridgewater for a third round 2019 pick. So this, the 2019 sixth round pick, has to be better than or on par with that third round pick, and Teddy Bridgewater has to be something. And I don't know.
That makes sense.
And I don't know if your sixth round pick. When was the last time you seen a six-round pick be successful in the league?
What we got? Let's go back to Seattle's defense. The Legion of Boom. Now those guys, most of them were what, fourth, fifth, sixth-round guys. Put them together and they made something happen. I think you got Tom Brady was what? Was he a seventh rounder?
He was a, wasn't he like a fourth or fifth?
fourth or fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth rounder. Bridgewater definitely has to perform, because you got to, but if you look at the whole trade, you know, you're looking at him, Teddy Bridgewater, what he's done over his career, and a six-round draft pick, you ain't getting much.
Yeah, yeah.
You ain't getting much. And then you have a trade for a 2019 third-round draft pick. This pick only works to me on a need basis.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean by that?
Yeah, yeah.
So that third round, you figure next year, let's say Drew Brees is getting old, okay?
Mm.
And there's going to have to be some changes and some adjustments there. I see offensive linemen at that third round draft pick, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, or maybe a defensive lineman or whatever, but like I said, that ain't much. Teddy Bridgewater and a six-round draft pick, it ain't a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not, per se, it's one of those things where I think the GMs worked out something like, yeah, get him over here.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't think it's one of those situations where, I don't know if it makes a difference. I think it's good for Bridgewater.
Yeah,
he still has a job.
Yep, still a job.
and but they'll probably put Teddy at the backup position, right behind Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the heel kid down there. Nobody knows about too much about him.
And they let go of Tom Savage. Thank God. Hey, Tom Savage. Tom Savage.
Yeah, that's one of those. What the?
Yeah. Tom Savage.
You got Alan. You really don't have nothing down there. You got Alan Kamara down there. You got Ted Ginn Jr.
You got Mark Ingram whenever he comes back.
Yeah. I mean, they don't have a real strong tight end. Was that Dan Arnold down there? They don't.
Well, you know, you got Benjamin. You got Benjamin Watson back. So. But yeah, that's case.
That's pretty good.
That's case in point though, because Ben Watson old, so you know.
Yeah, he is.
Mm-hmm.
You got Von Bell back there still at strong safety.
Yep.
You know, you got Marshawn Lattimore back there.
Mm-hmm.
Corner. But that's about it. You know, you got
Cam Jordan.
Yeah. But other than that, I mean, a six rounder. They need more than a six rounder.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean a third round. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're gonna need a lot. You're gonna need a lot. I don't think Teddy's gonna be the guy that can really effectively take over for Drew. All right. Last story, and this hurts me to say it. We all know Le'Veon Bell. We all know his issues, so I won't get into that. He still hasn't signed with the Steelers yet. Still not signing his franchise tender, which is fine with Le'Veon because we know where Le'Veon stands. He wants more money. What I want to talk about was his former teammate. Martavis Bryant reported recently by Raiders while facing, released by the Raiders while facing suspension. I think Martavis Bryant is done.
Yeah, I think he's done too. If you go down, and I think they released him, and then they picked up LaFleur?
Brandon LaFell. Mm-hmm.
LaFell.
Yeah.
They pick up LaFell.
Mm-hmm.
In place of Martavis Bryant.
Right.
Even though in the preseason, I think we was looking at that, and they were really looking for Martavis Bryant to do some things. They was giving him a lot of looks in the preseason. So, but I think this was based on the substance abuse policy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and like I said, again, it's one of those things. If you know you're doing some things, and you know it may have got into the wrong person, or another player,
and everybody's jockeying for position. You know, everybody, you know, you got to be careful. So I don't know if it was, I didn't read the full story on him. Was it that they took a sample from him and it came back, or was it they suspected him
Looks like they just suspected him right now. He hasn't officially been suspended yet, so I'm assuming since you didn't get automatically suspended right off the rip, the evidence they have on you might not hold water per se. So That's probably why they haven't really suspended him yet, but he's still facing it. And the Raiders wanted no part of that. And I think it's a damn shame. I think it really is a damn shame.
Because you got another opportunity. I mean, he could have been something special in Pittsburgh.
He
could have been really something special in Pittsburgh. And then you go to a Raiders receiving corps with Amari Cooper and Jordy Nelson and Seth Roberts. I mean, that's I like that. And then you put a Martavis Bryant with his size and his athletic ability. But obviously there's something more to it because the league is trying to suspend it. So it's not just a team issue or something that was detrimental to them. It's like, hey, we're just going to waive you, but you still got opportunity to play somewhere.
Right.
No, the league is actually getting in on this, and the league is probably going to suspend him. So we don't know. So I'm thinking, depending on the severity of the infraction, but it's more an unlikely will that another team will pick him up.
Yeah, I think so too. I really think so too.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just got too many issues.
Too much baggage.
But listen to this. I mean, but then you look at a Martavis Bryant and then you look at a Josh Gordon. They both had somewhat the same issues.
Yeah.
That's why I always say that Josh Gordon has been baby. He's been given every opportunity. If he don't come out and catch some passes this year, I mean, kicking him out the league is like nothing at this point because you gave him so many chances.
Right.
You know what I mean? Do something.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know somebody because you're still in the league. You got Martavis Bryant, but like I said, Martavis, I don't know if that's a situation where things we don't know to go behind closed doors and they give this guy an opportunity and they might have found something at some point and say, hey, listen, clean this up and, you know, get your butt out there and play some ball. Do I think that? Man, possibly, but whatever he's done to the point where the Raiders are like, oh, yeah, we're not even taking a chance on you.
Mm-mm. But you come out innocent or not, we cutting you.
Yeah, his time is running out.
We getting the hell away from Dodge on me.
this would be his. Then like with Gordon too, this would be his third suspension.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And real, they gotta put the weed down.
Stay off the damn weed.
Yeah, like our boys say. Stephen A. Smith, put the damn weed down.
Exactly. Put down the weed, put down the liquor, and it will be all right.
It will be okay. You will get those six-figure checks.
Exactly. I love to get a six-figure check.
Ooh, man.
I love to get a six. The only six-digit check I get. It's after the zero, after the decimal point. That's the only time I get six figures. And that's rounded that bitch
right. 10.
And that's rounded that jack to the nearest 10. All right, you guys. That's all I have for you news wise. Again, it's been a crazy weekend. Want to get all that out to you very, very quick on this Labor Day. Hope you guys had a fine Labor Day. Don't forget to check out the other shows on our network. We got The Shining Wizards and The Rant tomorrow night at 7. We got Turnbuckle Throwbacks. I believe this is the day they start on Thursdays. And then it'll be this fine show once again. The Sports Report with myself, Gene. I hope to get Nick back next week. See if he can come back on here next week at 11:15 p.m. Eastern. So don't forget to check out rantemradio.com. Shining Wizards, The Rant, Tim Broker Throwbacks, and the Sports Report. Hopefully we'll get the Will You Read Comic Book Show back soon as well. All right, Gene, is there anything else you want to talk about before we roll out of here for this evening?
No, it's been a good show, and we just get ready for Fantasy League.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, and the reason why I couldn't do that trade, because I already have three QBs.
Yeah, I know. I seen you. you declined it. And then, but I put him, I still put him up on the block, and let's see if I can get a bite. Because I'm giving away, they projected him to have at least 240 points.
Right.
So, gotcha. And I need a running back.
Right.
I need a running back bad. But during the draft, remember we talked about that, and I was like, hey, you know what? I wasn't gonna go for a running back early. Mm-hmm. I wanted to get my receiving core together,
mm-hmm.
and I think I did pretty good with that.
Yeah.
And I'll figure something out, and I might have to just keep him. I mean, I would hate to have to keep him when I know he could be valuable to some other guys that don't have a quarterback team like him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So we'll figure it out.
I feel you. Everyone, thank you for being here tonight. I hope everyone had a fine, fine Labor Day. And we'll see you next week right here on Rant EM Radio. Gene, thank you for calling. And everyone out there, take care.
Yeah.